Good day to you. This is Greg Proctor of Gap Ministries. We're here today to help fill in the gap, the void that's missing in our lives that only God's Word can fill in. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so pleased to be together with you today through this ministry of tape, of CD, of radio, of internet. What a privilege. What an honor it is for you and I to be able to come together and to study your Father's Word. We're going to look at a study today that I simply want to entitle, Speaking to Your Stumbling Block. Speaking to Your Stumbling Block. With a raised hand, how many, under the sound of my voice, are saved and on their way to heaven? Have you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Well, praise God. You see, there is a theme in the Bible. There is a principle that is taught for you and I to be practiced of coming to faith in our heart and speaking forth with our mouth. And when we do that, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and when we take in the Word of God in our heart and then we speak it forth, then the promises of God, which are yes and amen, they become a part of us. But the biblical principle is that's how you and I are saved in the first place. So if you would, grab your Bibles and open up to the great book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, and we'll look at a few verses of Scripture that will help us on this very wise of what we're talking about. But while you're turning there, let me define stumbling block to you. The definition from the Webster's Dictionary of stumbling block is an obstacle standing in the way of progress, an obstacle standing in the way of understanding. You see, you and I, when we were born from above, born again, when we come to salvation, we were born as newborn babes, and we were on a road of progressive state. We were to grow up in the Lord, and we were to every day feed on the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and have a better understanding of the way of the Lord. But the devil wants to put stumbling blocks in your path and my path. He wants to put hindrances there. And so we need to look and learn from the Bible principles and put the very ability of the understanding that you and I were created in the image of God, and that we were to look at His very foundation of how He spoke things into existence, and how you and I, being spirit beings housed in a flesh body, how we can follow in the footsteps of our Father. But with all that said, this will become clear, just trying to lay just a little bit of foundation as we get into the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, if you would, let's start reading in verse number 5. Romans chapter 10, verse number 5, the Word of God says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law," highlight that in your mind's eye, "that the man which doeth those things shall live by them," shall live by the law. Verse number 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith," highlight it in your mind's eye, "of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven," that is, to bring Christ down from above, verse 7, "or who shall descend into the deep," that is, to bring Christ again from the dead, verse number 8, "but what saith it," what is the words of faith, "but what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth," hallelujah, "and in thy heart," that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, what is the word of faith? "That if we shall confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus," confess Him, "and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In thy mouth, And then, in thy heart, confess, speak Jesus Christ as Lord, believe in your heart, and what happens? You're born again. You're born from above. You are saved. In other words, this is the biblical principle. This is our pattern, if you would. Everything that God has for you, the believer, for me, the believer, comes when we hear, then we speak till we get faith in our hearts to the fullness, and then we receive. That's what you and I are looking for. We're looking to have the Word of God in fullness in our hearts, souls, and lives. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we get the Word, Jesus is that Word, we get Jesus in the fullness in our heart, then we speak that forth. It doesn't matter what kind of stumbling block comes against you and I, because the biggest stumbling block was sin. You were controlled. I was controlled by sin. Sin was a separation from God. The separation from God had a payday. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. Death. You and I, we had no hope whatsoever. That was the biggest stumbling block we would ever encounter. But we heard about the good news. We heard that for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, He so loved me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, that's you, should what? Believe in the heart, as we just looked at, and confess with the mouth, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we could be born again. We would not have to perish, tying John 3:16 in with what we're talking about right now. But if we can speak to that stumbling block, and that's exactly what happened, then we've got to recognize and realize that in this life that you're going to have many stumbling blocks. I'm going to have many stumbling blocks because the devil, who is as a roaring lion, and he seeks whom he may devour, he's going to put things in your path. He's going to put things in my path. And we're going to look today at three things: unforgiveness, sickness, storms, and supplies. Let's go ahead and look at four things. Let's look at, if we can work this in the time frame of the time that we've got together, let's look at four things. Let's look at unforgiveness, sickness, storms, and supply. As we look at these things, we'll see that they're going to be an issue in your life. They're going to be an issue in my life. And we are going to have to put this biblical principle of speaking to the stumbling block, to the obstacle that is keeping you and I from moving forward, keeping you and I from a better understanding of God's plan and God's will. We're going to have to speak to that and see it fall out of our life. Amen? If you would, open up your Bibles to... we're in the book of Romans. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke and let's see something. Mark your place here in Romans. We may be back. But let's go to Luke chapter 17, if you would. Let's lay our eyes on the Word of God together and let's talk about speaking to the stumbling block of unforgiveness. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Then said he, talking about Jesus, then said Jesus unto the disciples, say, that's me. You and I, we are a mathetes. That's a Greek word meaning a pupil, a learner, someone who is being disciplined in the Word of God. Amen? Then said Jesus unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Talking about these offenses, things that would trip people up, things that would cause people to have a hard heart, that would have cause them to have unforgiveness in their life. He says in verse number 2, it were better for him, for that person, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now this word offend here in verse 2, it's from a Greek word that means to scandalize. It's where we actually get our English word scandal, if you would. It means to entrap. Figuratively, it means to trip up, to entice to sin. It were better for him, for that person, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should what? Cause one of these little ones to sin. Verse 3. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, that's the key, forgive him. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, Jesus, his words, not mine, red letter, he says, thou shalt forgive him. Verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Immediately, when they hear this, they recognize and realize that there's something being taught that they're not in a place to live. And that's the way it is with you and I. As we're progressing in this walk, there's stumbling blocks, there's obstacles that the enemy uses to put in your path and my path to keep us from understanding the will of God, the plan of God, our role in His plan in these last days. And one of the things that the enemy does so very well is he puts people in your path and my path to try to offend us, to try to trip us up, cause us to sin, to get us into strife, where we walk in strife rather than love, and we're pulled out of the blessings of God, the plan of God, the provision of God. But Jesus, He told you and I, if that person asked us to forgive them, if they repented, that we were to do that. And immediately you and I, we need to be encouraged and we need to be strengthened and we need to recognize and realize that Jesus Christ would never tell you and I to do something that He would not empower us to do. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. That means if He's given us a command to forgive, given us a command to talk to that individual, then we're going to be able to do that in love and we're going to have the anointing upon our lives to see it to come to pass. And so as the disciples here, and you notice that all of a sudden, the apostles, those who are being sent forth, we shift gears from Mathetes, a pupil, a learner, to an apostle, apostelos in the Greek, to one that is being sent forth. They said, increase our faith. In verse number 6, Jesus says, if you had faith as, now highlight that in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Oh, hallelujah. What a promise. What a promise. They said, increase our faith. And He said, it's not about your faith needing to be increased. It's about the fact that you use the faith that you have. And we concentrate on the size of a mustard seed being so small. But He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, not as small, meaning as the size of the grain of the mustard seed, not of, but as that very grain, that grain is kakos, and it means a kernel of seed. But He said, I want you to have faith as that grain. As means to the same degree. Of means coming from or a part of. He said, I don't want you to have faith of the grain of the mustard seed. I want you to have it not coming from that, but as to the same degree. And if you've got that, if your faith is pure, if it's, a mustard seed, you cannot turn it into a hybrid as we know it today. If it's pure, if it's undefiled, no matter the size thereof, you can speak to the sycamine tree and command it to be plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, and it should, oh hallelujah, it should obey you. It will, it'll have to obey you. Now, why did He use this sycamine tree? The sycamine tree is a mulberry tree, a mulberry fig tree. Sycamore tree, it's translated different things all through the Gospels here, but these mulberry tree roots, they're very strong. And it was taught in this particular time period that they could stay rooted for 600 years. Oh, glory. Think about this now. So Jesus is saying, I don't care how something is deep-rooted in your life. I don't care what is trying to come into your heart and replace my word, replace my truth, replace my love, replace my grace, my peace, my joy. All of these things, I don't care what it is. If you'll exercise the faith that caused you to be saved, if you'll exercise that faith and speak to any mountain, any tree, anything that is trying to root in your life, you can cast it out. You see, this sycamine tree, it represents unforgiveness, offense. Don't let that tree tower over you. Rather, you climb that tree and you topple it. Now, let's tie this in with something that will help us to see it even clearer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Very familiar verses of Scripture. But Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. Hold your mind to the sycamine tree, okay? The sycamore tree. And Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho, meaning the place of fragrance. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, fully translated, instead of only transliterated, means pure. Which was the chief of the publicans. He was the principal tax collector, and he was rich. He was abounding in the Greek. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press. Why? Because he was of little stature. Verse 4. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. This is the same Greek word, this sycamine tree, this mulberry fig tree. He climbed up into it to see who? To see Jesus. For he, Jesus, was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Abide, meno in the Greek, it means to stay, to remain. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, highlight in your mind's eye, when they saw it, they all murmured. In other words, all this press, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. When they saw it, they all murmured. In other words, here, this is like a young little one. Zacchaeus here, he is coming into the relationship with Christ. He's being born again, born from above, brand new, just a babe in Christ. Yet all the press around him, because of his past, because of what he had done in the past, they murmured against him. Now this could have caused, showing offense in their heart, unforgiveness in their heart, but also this could come up and cause Zacchaeus to stumble. It could have caused him to fall. Let's see what Zacchaeus does. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, according to Exodus 22, that's the recompense of a sheep thief. Now, you and I, we're the sheep of the flock of the great shepherd, shepherd of Jesus Christ. Amen? Think about this. Verse 9, Then Jesus said unto Zacchaeus, This day is salvation come to this house. Remember, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, your life, my life, is like building upon either a rock or upon sand. He likened our life to a house. And so he says, Today salvation has come to this house. It's come to Zacchaeus. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Oh, glory. So here, you tie these two chapters together, Luke 17, Luke 19, and you see the sycamine tree, the sycamore tree, the mulberry fig tree, whichever you wish to call it, and you see that the importance of casting offense, toppling the tree of offense, speaking to any tree, anything that's trying to root its way into your life and my life, we speak to it. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse number 6, he said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. Hallelujah. It shall obey you. Unforgiveness is the quickest way that you and I get separated from God and from His plan and His will that causes us to be separated from all the blessings of God and opens up all the doors to the enemy to work in your life and my life. Every time you and I, if we hold on to unforgiveness, we cannot be forgiven. Our Father will not forgive us if we won't forgive others. This is why you and I have got to be in the place where we recognize the attributes of the enemy and what he's wanting to do in your life, what he's wanting to do in my life to hurt us and hinder us. Matthew chapter 6, lay your eyes on these verses of Scripture with me. Matthew chapter 6, red letter, Christ Jesus teaching. He says in verse 14, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see why the enemy wants to get you and get me in a place of unforgiveness, of holding an offense against a brother or sister. We've got to be in the place where, whether they repent or not, whether we have fellowship with them or not, that may be up to them. But we can't allow the roots of unforgiveness, the root of the offense, to take hold in our heart. We've got to be in a place where we hold tight to the Word of God and we follow the example that Jesus Christ has laid out for us and allow that to be the determining factor of everything we do. The book of Ephesians, let's go from the Gospel of Matthew to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, the Word of God says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Verse 32. Highlight this in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, glory be to God. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Who am I to hold anything against anybody when I recognize, realize, and understand my great sin against the good God in the universe, the Creator of all things, and He forgave me for the sake of Jesus Christ, amen, and my calling upon the name of the Lord. So I've got to speak to a mountain. If there's something that is in your life that is a hurt, that is a hindrance, exercise your faith. Just as you called on the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13 tells us that. When you call upon the name of the Lord, salvation comes. Well, when you exercise that same faith and you speak to that mountain of offense, that tree of offense, anything that's trying to root itself in your life, you can speak to it and command it to be cast into the sea, cast away from you. Amen? You see, I want you to think about this food for thought. Unforgiveness is when you poison yourself. Unforgiveness is when I poison myself and I wait for the other person to die. Think about that. That's powerful. Speak to the stumbling block. Hallelujah. Speak to the stumbling block. You and I, we have the power. We have the authority. We have the instruction from Jesus to do it. And we can climb that tree and we can meet Christ when we climb that tree of whatever's trying to offend you, offend me, and we can have salvation come to our house. We can be delivered from that situation, that circumstance, because we serve a good God. Amen? All right, let's look at number two, sickness. You and I, we have the confidence from the Word of God, the instruction from the Word of God, of being able to speak to sickness in our life if sickness is a stumbling block. Amen? Let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Let's look at the example of Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse number 38. It says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house." And now, what does Simon mean, fully translated instead of only translated, transliterated? Simon means hearing. Hearing. He went into the hearing man's house, and Simon's wife's mother, Simon's mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever. This is a mega fever. Her life was in danger. And they besought him for her. They besought Jesus to intervene into this lady's life. Verse 39, "And he," Jesus, "stood over her," and what? "Rebuked the fever." Jesus spoke to the fever. The stumbling block was that there was sickness. There was a fever, a great fever, a mega fever, a life-endangering fever in this lady's life. And they call upon the name of the Lord. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Jesus speaks. He rebukes the fever. What happens? The fever heard the words of Jesus. Look at the Word of God. "And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it," the fever, "left her." Left Simon's mother-in-law. The fever left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. God has got things for you to do. God has got things for me to do. But at the same time, The enemy is trying to work death in your life, my life, our family's life. I'm dealing with some things, some health issues and situations where the enemy is bringing into my life. But at the same time, I can look at the Word of God. I can look at the example that Jesus has laid forth to me. And I recognize and realize that Jesus has authorized you and me, the believer, to use His name. He said that one of the five signs that follows a believer in Mark 16, was that we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Amen? He said that we could use the name of Jesus, and Paul told us that everything was going to bow to the name of Jesus. Everything, every knee was going to bow, every tongue was going to confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the name above all other names. There's no other name that has the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we've been authorized to use that name. And here we see that Jesus spoke to this fever, and this fever obeyed Him, because this lady, she wanted to be serving God. You and I, we want to be serving God in freedom and liberty and in joy and in power. But yet, the enemy's trying to work death in our life. He's trying to keep us from being able to serve God in the fullness of capacity that God would have, because the devil is the author of sickness, disease, and death. Jesus said that the thief, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you, talking to you and I, the believer, that we might, the very sheep of His flock, that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Amen? Oh, glory. Now, let's look at a second witness. Go to the Gospel of John. And let's lay our eyes on something here. John chapter 4, verse number 46. John chapter 4, verse number 46. So Jesus came again into Cana, meaning place of reeds, of Galilee, the heathen circle, where He made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Capernaum, fully translated, means village of comfort, okay? Verse 47. And he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, and he went unto Him, and he besought Jesus that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Remember, Satan is the author of sickness, disease. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that Satan is death. Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir. This word sir in a lot of places is translated Lord. Think about that. Sir, come down ere my child die. Verse 50. Jesus saith. Highlight in your mind's eye. Underline it in your Bible, where you'll have it, where you can see it, where you can remind yourself of it, where I can remind myself of it. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Go thy way. That's the word. Jesus spoke to death. And he said what? He said, go ahead. You go your way, because your son liveth. Your son's not going to die. You're going to live. You're not going to die. You're going to fulfill the work, the plan, the will of the Lord. That's what He's wanting for you. That's what He's wanting for me. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed. Oh, hallelujah. And this is the key. You and I, we can, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How? By faith. It's impossible to please God unless you and I, what? Believe Him. Believe Him. All things are possible to the person that believes. And the man believed the word. Highlight it in your mind's eye. Believe the word that Jesus had spoken. Spoken. He spoke to the stumbling block of death. Jesus spoke to death, just like He spoke to the stumbling block of the fever, and it had to obey Him. He spoke unto him, and he went his way. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever, more indication here of what's going on. The fever left him. Verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, what? And his whole house. Oh, glory be to God. Him himself believed in his whole house. Today, you have a situation in your life. The devil is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is trying to take the will of God, the plan of God, out of your life, out of my life. But we've got a God who has promised us that if we love the Lord, and if we're called according to His purpose, if we're praying in the Spirit, that He promised us that He'll work all those things out for our good. For our good. So, you may be in a place where you're dealing with a great big stumbling block. Look at these examples that are being laid forth. Feed your faith, and then speak. Say what Jesus said. Do what Jesus has made possible. Amen? Our God wants to work in your life. Our God wants to work in my life. He wants to speak the word to us and change all situations and circumstances. See, the word of God says in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalms 107, verse number 20, we have a great powerful word from our God. And it's written to you and I to build our faith and to cause us to see some important truth. Psalms 107, verse 20, the word of God says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus has done come. He's done defeated Satan and all the enemies. Amen? That His heel was crushed, but Satan's head was crushed. Amen? Just like Genesis 3 tells us. Just like the Word of God prophesied, it came to pass. He sent His Word not to heal them, but He sent His Word and healed them. God considers it a done deal. But you got to speak. I've got to speak what God says. The promises of God are yes and amen. Meaning you and I have got to ascend to that. We've got to say that and say amen to it. Amen? For sake of time, let's move along. Number three, there's storms that's going to be coming in your life. There's storms that's going to be coming in my life. And we've got to recognize and realize that the enemy has an agenda. Agenda of working death and destruction, but our God has an agenda of life and peace and joy, fullness thereof. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse number 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side. Now highlight that in your mind's eye. Before you and I start the very first step of anything we start to do, we need to make sure that we've heard from God. If we've heard from the Lord God Almighty, if we've heard from Jesus, then it doesn't matter what hell brings against us. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to you or tries to do to me. If we've heard from God, then we're going to make it through what He has authorized us, deputized us, give us guide, instruction to do. He said, let us go over unto the other side. Jesus told them, we're going to the other side. Amen? And they launched forth. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Verse 24. And they came to him, they came to Jesus, and they awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Verse 25. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Why did he say that? Because he didn't give them word that we're going to the other side. If Jesus tells you something, you can bank on it. If Jesus tells me something, we can bank on it. Not one jot, not one tittle has ever fell to the ground. God is not a man that he should lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. You and I, we can hold on to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us, Old Testament, New Testament, it's impossible for God to lie. This is what we've got to hold on to. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth, he speaks to the stumbling block. The storm was a stumbling block. He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And he went forth to land, and there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. I want you to think about this now. This is important. God has got something for you to do. God has got something for me to do. There's people in your world. There's people in my world that are hurting. And the devil is going to bring a storm in your life, in my life, to try to keep us from getting used by God in their life. Try to keep us from being able to see that hurting person, that needful person, that person who needs deliverance, that person who needs salvation, that person who needs healing, that person who needs comforting. The devil is going to bring a storm. It's a stumbling block to keep you and I out of the plan and the will of God. And we've got to learn to look and follow the example of Jesus in every situation. Right now, if you're in a storm of financial trouble, if you're in a storm of financial hardship, if you're in a storm of physical sickness, of mental distress, if whatever it might be, if unforgiveness is trying to get a hold of you, whatever the storm, whatever the stumbling block is, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast it down. Cast it down and recognize and realize it's just a ploy of the enemy to keep you and I out of the perfect will of God, out of the plan of God. Jesus spoke to that wind. He spoke to that water. He spoke to that storm, that uprising, and he went about the Father's business. You and I, we've got to be about our Father's business. We can't walk around blindly, not recognizing and realizing and understanding what the enemy's doing. He's trying to keep us out of God's will. We've got to speak to the stumbling block. Okay, hurriedly, let's look at number four, supply. Supply. You and I, we've got to come to the place where we recognize and realize that the devil wants to keep everything from you, everything from me, the abundant life, where we're in a place of total lack, where we're in a place of continually just trying to take care of self, and we can't help anybody else. But what does the Word say? Philippians 4:19, very familiar verses of Scripture. It comes after we see that those at Philippi had sown into the ministry of Paul. They had gave, and God is a God who gives back. And He makes this promise to them. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply. Play ruo in the Greek, and it means to make replete, full, abounding. It means literally to take a net and to cram it level up till it's fallen over the side. Yeah, figuratively, the word means to furnish, to satisfy. But my God shall satisfy all of your need. All of my need according to, not out of, but according to. Think about it. Now, you could go to Donald Trump or Bill Gates, and they could give you $20 out of their billions. But God is saying, I'm going to meet your need according to, not out of my riches, but according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God's not a respecter of persons. Here's what you and I have got to do. We've got to declare, I have sown, and now God will meet my need. I speak to the mountain of debt. I speak to the sycamine tree of debt that is trying to take root and lack that is trying to control my life. I declare that I have sown, and God will meet my need. I understand what the Word of God says, that God, He is a God that is interested in every part of my life. Psalms chapter 35, go there with me. Let's lay our eyes on a verse of Scripture. Psalms 35, verse 27. The Word of God says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually. Highlight it in your mind's eye. Underline it in your Bible. This is speaking God talk. Amen? He says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause, like those at Philippi, sowing into the plan and the will of God. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue, verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. You and I, we know if we've got a situation where the enemy is hindering us and we've got a mountain of bills or a mountain of debt. We've got a sycamine tree with roots that's trying to sap every bit of our finances, every bit of our resources out of our life to where we can't do what we want to do, let alone what we know God wants us to do. Well, he's telling us here, stop talking about that. Stop talking about your lack. Stop talking about your need. Stop building that mountain up. Rather, say continually that my God be magnified. I'm going to talk about my God. My God is the God who supplies all according to his riches and glory. He has pleasure in the prosperity of me, his servant. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk about the righteousness of my God. I'm going to praise my God that he takes care of me. And I'm going to speak what God says. I'm going to speak to that stumbling block of debt, of lack, of need. And then I'm just going to start praising God for it. I'm going to praise God because I recognize and realize that my God has put it in my power to get wealth because he wants me to establish his covenant here on the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us that, verse number 18. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Highlight in your mind's eye, highlight in your Bible, power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. Oh, glory. You see, God's blessed us. We need to talk about God's blessings. God has given you and I the power, the ability, the strength, the influence, the creativity to produce wealth, riches, and wholeness for abundant life where we can give into the work and the plan of God. Where we can help those who can't help themselves, and they can see God's covenant. They can see God's goodness. They can see God's hand in the earth. It doesn't matter what you're facing, what I'm facing. According to the Word of God, you and I, we have to speak to it in faith. And it has to change. You see, as long as you and I are obedient to the Word of God in every area of our life, you and I, we can command every situation in our lives to line up to the Word of God. We can speak to our body and command it to be strengthened. We can function as God has created this body to function because of the Word. We can speak as Jesus did to sickness, to fever, to disease. We can command it to leave. We can speak to unforgiveness. We can speak to storms. We can speak to finances. And we can command God's blessing in our life. Now, I want to close with a verse of Scripture that will help us so much if we'll just read it and receive it. Luke chapter 6. Lay your eyes on the Word with me. Luke chapter 6, verse number 40. You know this is red letter. This is Christ Jesus speaking to you and I. And he says, the disciple, remember the Mathetes, the pupil, the learner, the person who is seeking to be disciplined, in the Word of God. That's what a disciple is. Someone who's disciplined in the Word of God. In Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect. It's a Greek word that means to complete. To adjust a frame. Perfect joined together. Greek doctors use this word in the sense of a joint being pop back in place. Like if, say, like your shoulder got popped out of joint, they would use this word. Hallelujah. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Shall be as his master. Now, my question to you, my question to myself, who is my master? Who is my master? Is my master the Word of God, what Jesus has said? Or am I going to listen to the world? Am I going to listen to the flesh? Am I going to listen to the devil? This is questions that we have to ask ourselves, because right here, if I'm going to be like Jesus, then I'm going to have to do what he did. But if I'm doing something other than what Jesus taught, then I need to check who my master really and truly is. I'll close with this thought. Pastor Stuart Briscoe, he visited a mission in a remote primitive area, and he spent the night in the hut of a local witch doctor. And overhead, Pastor Stuart, he noticed a variety of all kinds of small objects that were hanging from the ceiling. The missionary was informed that each one of those objects represented some offense that the villagers had committed against the doctor, the witch doctor, or his family. See, if someone spoke unkindly to the doctor, he would hang an object up in the ceiling. If someone done something to one of his family members, he would hang an object that represented that person or that family, that would represent their action, that would represent their unkind words, and that he would lay in bed at night, and he would look up and he would see all of that. You see, forgiveness to the witch doctor was not an option. In fact, the doctor hung those objects from the ceilings so that he could lay there and meditate each night, so he could count the objects, so he could remind himself of each person's offense against him, against his family. You see, in that way, it was like a movie screen. He was continually replaying all of his grievance. Unforgiveness was growing. Unforgiveness was abounding. What was happening? Unforgiveness was the witch doctor's master. Unforgiveness was the witch doctor's master. Now, we've talked about today unforgiveness, which is sin. We have talked about sickness, we've talked about storms, we've talked about supply. What's trying to be your master? See, Jesus, he left heaven. He was born of a virgin. He was in all points tempted as you and I, and walked in this flesh body as you and I, yet without sin. He gave his life on the cross, crucified, placed in a tomb. The Word of God said he was beaten and marred more than any other man, beyond recognition. That he might buy you back. He might buy me back. Ransom us back from hell, death, and the grave. The Word of God says that you're not redeemed with silver and gold, but you're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Who's your master? Who's my master? What are we saying? What are we believing in our heart? This is what you and I have to do. We have to speak to our stumbling block. And as we speak the Word of God, because we have believed in the heart, we'll see the salvation of the Lord. We'll see the power of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. We ask that you take these words, and not that I've spoken, but the very words that you have spoken to us out of the Word of God, out of your Holy Bible. Let it bring us to faith. Let us yield everything we've got to you, Father. Let us receive correction. Let faith come. And let us be able to, by the very power of your anointed Word, do what our Master has done. Be disciplined in that Word. And allow Him to be the master of every part of our life, where the enemy, all the doors and the hindrance that he has in our life, that they will be shut off, Father. Let it be. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. If we've helped you by bringing God's Word to you, I encourage you to write us. We would enjoy hearing from you. If we can help you pray about a certain situation or circumstance, we would love to do that. If you need a Bible or Bible study materials, we would love to place them in your hand. We have many materials available on our website. That's www.gregproctor.net. We encourage you to go there, and there's many things available for download. If you don't have a local church, we would invite you to come to Bullfrog Valley on Highway 164, close to the Polk County, Johnson County line at the Gospel Lighthouse, and come and be in church with us. But the most important thing is to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Try Him and see if He won't pour you out a blessing. Try Him. He's waiting. He's desiring to fellowship with you. But the most important thing to remember, what we can't ever forget, remember God's Word. God's Word will change your life.